This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to This Week in Sports. Been a little bit, been a couple of weeks here, but This Week in Sports, I'm your host, the Cowboy, joined, as always, by my my partner in crime, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Well, how am I doing? It's pretty hard to lose in the off season, but it's kind of like, you remember on Friday when Smokey got fired on his day off? That's what it feels like. It feels like the Giants are on an 8-game losing streak, and the season hasn't even started. So it's a rough one, but we'll get through it.
John's teeing up the show tonight, so we're taping this on Friday night. Round 3 of the NFL draft is underway right now as we talk. So obviously, round 1 was yesterday. So we're gonna break down the draft for you. We're also going to discuss the NBA playoffs. It's been a very exciting NBA playoffs so far. I'm sure we both have opinions on that. Am I right, John?
Oh, of course. A couple surprises, and so far we just got one game 7, possibly 2. Hopefully make things interesting, but otherwise a droll first round.
Yep. So I think we can get right into it here. It's good to be back. Always good to talk to you, John. I think since our last show, we had already gone to WrestleMania, correct? We had already gone to WrestleMania.
Yes, we were recovering. Now it's a distant memory. We're already planning ahead for
that's true.
A summer of shenanigans.
A couple of weeks, we'll be in Hartford.
Yes,
me, you, Mr. Flanagan, and he of the signed belt, Young Rider, along with friend of the Sports Lounge, Rocky Boyle. We're going to be in Hartford for Money in the Bank, and then we are going to be in Philly in July for Extreme Rules. So it's going to be pretty nuts. I feel like I don't get my money's worth on the network because I go to all the shows live now. It's not a bad thing, I guess, right?
Well, for me especially, I have to escape from the real depression of real sports. I need as much sports entertainment in my life as possible.
All right. Speaking of which, real sports. Let's get to real sports. So, NFL draft. I went out to eat with Senior tonight, and he told me this. I didn't realize this, that the NFL draft is ESPN's highest rated program all year, including all the Monday night football games. So a lot of people are watching the draft. A lot of people watching the left draft. A lot of people watch the Cardinals take Kyler Murray first overall. I'm going to give my take on this. I don't know if it's a popular one or not, but it's mine. Disagree across the board here. I don't know how the GM has a job, right? So last year was year 1 of the rebuild. You hired a new coach and you drafted a quarterback 10th overall. You had a bad year. You knew you were going to have a bad year. You're in a rebuild, right? It is what it is. Fire the coach. And now give up on the quarterback you took 10th overall that you put behind the worst offensive line maybe in NFL history, but certainly in the NFL last year. And instead of getting rid of the GM, you let him stick around, right? And this is a swing for the fences pick. There's no quarterback at this size has ever really been successful. I mean, well, Russell Wilson's a bit bigger than this guy, and I'm not saying he can't be successful, but it really feels like a home run pick. They were lucky to trade Rosen for a second to the Miami Dolphins. You brought in a coach who couldn't win at the college level, running a gimmicky offense with a quarterback who's my height. It just doesn't feel like it's going to be successful, and it feels like it's a complete dumpster fire. Maybe Kyler Murray is that transcendent that he'll prove me wrong, but that's my take, John. Mistake. That's my take.
I'm pretty much all in on all your points. It goes back to, we had already discussed it when during our coaching change episode, that it's unfathomable how they just got mesmerized by a coach, you know, with a losing record just because he puts up 60, 70 points in the big whatever the fuck no defense league he plays in. That you know, where everybody scores, there's no defense played, and you just put up you know, quarterbacks be putting up 600, 700 yards in that, you know, joke of offense, 60, 70 games, and they gave the keys to the castle to Kingsbury, and you know, of course he's gonna pick his guy, which is you know, quarterback, you shoot your load first year, 2 years in a row, you take a top pick and a quarterback, so it's not really how you build a team. It'll be the odds are against them that everything's going to work out for the Cardinals. They're really up against it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that I don't think Murray's talented. I mean, you watch him; he's electric. He's electric, but I mean, they list him. He's under 5'10", right? He's like 5'9" and a half. It's real tough, and I know in the air raid, right, he's going to be in shotgun the whole game, which helps, right? And then some shorter quarterbacks have been successful. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. I mean, that's about it. But it's just a tough situation, right? Because the line isn't any better. And I guess with the air raid, the thought is that you're going to have everyone spread out and the ball's coming out quick. Run a lot of draws, but I think it's just the kids being set up to fail. They really don't have a ton of weapons on offense. I mean, they have their receiving core. A lot of people like Christian Kirk a lot. I mean, I was not super sold on him as a rookie. I thought he flashed a little bit, but I don't see like a future number one receiver there or anything. Larry Fitz is Larry Fitz. I mean, he's a possession guy at this point. And I mean, they're going to really have to lean on David Johnson in both the passing game and the running game. And he wasn't great last year. So it's really, real interesting situation. I hope for the best for the kid, but if I were them, I would have taken the guy who went number two or number three and stuck with Rosen. And that's the other thing, is I think Rosen has a bit of talent. I mean, I think if Rosen would have come out this year, right, if he would have stayed in school and come out this year, there's a good chance he would have gone number one overall. I mean, he's a real talented kid. And he looked good last year until it all fell apart toward the end of the season with the offensive line not giving him any time at all to throw. So he'll be moving to Miami, which I think is a nice move for Miami. They gave up a second-round pick for it. They probably could have held out and given up less because the Cardinals, by not trading Rosen on day one, had no leverage at all because Miami was essentially the only team that needed a quarterback. But I think it's a nice situation for him there. He'll be able to, you know, that'll be his team, and they have some weapons, and hopefully he can fulfill some of that promise.
And also with Murray, you got to worry about the mental aspect and can he lead a team? Because this is a guy that, you know, up until a couple months ago, he was all set on a baseball career, and all of a sudden things flipped. And plus, you know, he's got he's got his old man is obviously close to him and very into his career and is guiding his career. So there's all those kind of things that make you question whether he's going to be able to lead a team to success.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, he was electric at Oklahoma. I mean, very, very, very good.
Oh, sure. The talent isn't a question. And also with Rosen, it's too soon to give up. Sure, he wasn't. He didn't come right out the box and blow it up like his counterparts, Baker Mayfield and Josh Darnold. He was a little below them, but you got to give sometimes quarterbacks it takes even 2-3 years. For them to give up on him after one and the way they did it to draft a guy in the top 10 and then trade him for a second round next year, that's not quite the business model for a successful franchise.
Awful. And I mean, if you put Mayfield or Darnold or Josh Allen behind the Cardinals offensive line, I mean, I don't think their results would have been any better than Rosen. Right. I really don't. I mean, you know, you, that goes back to David Carr with the Texans, right? I mean, you have a rookie quarterback. You can't put him behind a sieve of an offensive line that's just going to get him killed.
Oh, yeah, it ruined his whole career. He never recovered. Yeah, that was a good example. He never recovered from that.
Yeah, so we'll
see. Rosen's going to get a first start with Miami. Yeah. Right? He'll have his chance.
The bar is low in Miami, too, with Tannehill being, you know, kind of
well below average for
the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, there's zero expectations. They're going to be able to take their time and then mold them, so he'll get a couple years and get it together.
Yep. And then the consensus two best players in the draft went 2-3. Nick Bosa to San Francisco, Quinnen Williams to the Jets. Both great picks. Can't argue with those picks at all. Difference makers right away on defense. And we had our first real curveball of the night from who do you think would throw that curveball at number 4 there, John?
Well, let me see. Right now, if you did power rankings, tied for 32nd are the Raiders, Arizona, and the Giants, and everybody else is tied for like number 1. So that's pretty much where we're at.
So,
John Gruden, ex-analyst Mike Mayock.
He takes Cleveland Farrell, who is a very good player at Clemson.
Yeah, the poor guy, man. It's just sad to see the guys with their family and they're all celebrating, but meanwhile, the fans and everybody else is going crazy and shitting on the poor guy. It's a tough spot.
It's nothing to do with him that he's getting shit on. I mean, he's a very good player. He's supposed to go toward the end of the first round, right? I mean, that's where everybody had him mocked, somewhere between 20 and 30. So when he gets taken 4th, it's just, even if he turns out to be real good, it's still a bad pick. The way they did it, because they didn't have to take him 4th. I mean, that 4th pick has value. And if this is really the guy you want, I mean, just get something for the pick, right? Get something for the pick, trade back to 12 or 13. The guy's still going to be there, you know? It's just an idiotic move from an idiotic franchise.
So sometimes either during the interview that there's something that makes them fall in love with a certain player, and we're going to see that when you get to a couple picks. It's just something that you can't explain, that the GM just gets stuck on a certain player and he can't get him out of his head, and he's got to pick him no matter what. And I'm sure it's going to repeat with another decrepit franchise.
At least when it's a quarterback, there's a precedent there for teams trading up to get quarterbacks, right? And quarterbacks going higher than they maybe were originally ranked. I mean, that happens every year because quarterback is such an important, obviously the most important position in the NFL. When you do it with a defensive end, when you have a guy on the board, right, who plays outside linebacker, Josh Allen, who's kind of the consensus guy there if you're looking for a pass rusher, and it just doesn't make sense to take a guy who's supposed to go in the 20s. It's just a bad move. But that's what they do over in Oakland. I feel like them and Antonio, I mean, I'm going to keep beating this drum, but I think the Antonio Brown Oakland Raiders match is just a match made in heaven. Like just a bunch of idiots all together.
Heaven, unless you're a Raider fan.
What was that?
I said, it's not heaven if you're a Raider fan. It's
Right. I mean, and who knows? Maybe it'll all come together. We just don't think so here at the this week. This week in sports. Another 4-12 season. Devin White goes 5th. Very good pick. Very good player. Fills a need for the Bucks, who lost Quan Alexander. So nothing really to say about that. And that leads us to to the shock that we all kind of saw coming. Your Giants, Johnny, your Giants. We've been saying they need to take a successor to Eli, and instead they probably took a successor to Ryan Nassib here at number 6 with Daniel Jones. They took him 6th. A lot of pre-draft rankings had him in the 80s and 90s as far as a player. And then, you know, the quarterbacks do rise. He had a really good Senior Bowl. Gettleman came out today and said that he was very impressed at the Senior Bowl. Actually said, I believe he said on the radio that after watching him for three series at the Senior Bowl, he fell in love. And I don't know if that's really how this works. Small, small sample size. But it just, I mean, I know you defended the Odell Beckham move on our last show. When you look at the totality of what they've done, right? Losing, trading Beckham, not signing Collins, and now what they got in return, right? So the Daniel Jones pick. What do you think, John? I mean, this guy seems to have bust kind of written all over him. Like a guy who went in the 40s, Drew Lock, I think is probably most people consider a better prospect. Haskins, who went to the Redskins at 15, already has a giant chip on his shoulder about this and has basically said he plans to lay waste to the Giants for the next 15 years for passing him up. And this kid, Daniel Jones, it's not like he's real toolsy. I don't really get it. Because you sometimes, like a guy like Josh Allen, where he kind of, you could see the bust potentially coming, there's a lot of tools there, right? He's got a cannon, the biggest arm in the whole NFL. Jones has a weak arm, isn't very accurate, but he can run a little bit, I guess. So I guess the big comp is Blake Bortles. I don't know. Seems like a bad pick to me, John.
Well, when you get the number six pick, you can't. You can't take a question mark, especially if you're going to go quarterback at number six. It has to be a slam dunk. So that's the major issue here. That's you can't just take a shot in the dark at number six. You got to take a short thing, and that's where the outrage sets in. But one thing I will dispute, though, I don't think that they definitely weren't high on Haskins from the beginning. I knew they weren't going to take Haskins from the start. And also, Denver, Cincinnati, and Miami, they all passed on Haskins, too. So I don't. So Haskins is kind of like a statue. He's not very mobile.
This is true.
So for everybody that's got the Redskins have become the NFC version of the Jets and the Browns, where everybody's anointing them for the Haskins move, which we'll see. Hey, if it works out for them, God bless them. But I wasn't too upset about them passing on Haskins, but I am upset that they passed on Josh Allen. They need a pass rush seriously. They were 31st in sacks, and they traded away their one above average pass rusher, Olivier Vernon. So they desperately need a pass rusher to shore up the defense, and they passed on Allen for something that, just Gettleman's trying to prove that he's smarter than everybody, and he fell in love with the player. It's he's kind of arrogant, and doing some research, I found that Gettleman was born in Boston, Massachusetts. Where arrogance flows freely, and maybe he was planted, by Patriots fans to get revenge for two fortunate Super Bowls, and now the Giants are paying for it.
You've had a bad off season as a GM when the fans of your team are openly questioning whether you're a double agent.
To add insult to injury, when you tune into his pressers and you have to hear him explain the friggin' moves with a fucking Boston accent, that adds totally insult to injury. It's like getting a date with the one chick in Boston that's above a three, and you get a date with her, and you got to hear her say, "Oh, give me that cork harder," and it's just.
Hey. That voice. There's something to be said for the Boston accent.
I'm totally joking. I actually love the city and the people there.
You're fine. You're an angry man right now. You're an angry man. Man on the edge.
It's not even anger anymore. It's just like I'm numb to it. It's just like it's like one rough move after the other. I still don't think the Beckham deal is as bad as everybody piles on, but this one is there's not too much defense for it, man. I think we'll give the Jones kid a chance, and we'll see. Maybe there's a small chance he could come out. I just don't, you know, after a while, it's kind of like piling on, where the thing I hate about the draft is all of a sudden everybody's an expert. People that watch like one or two friggin' college football games a year, all of a sudden they're these experts, and they know, you know, what player is going to be good and what player is not. So
it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, but of course, everybody that the home team drafts is the greatest guy of all time, even though, you know, people have never seen him play. So
similar to the Raiders, my biggest issue with the pick is to what you said, right? Josh Allen's there, who's essentially a sure thing, right? Very, very close to a sure thing. Fills a big need for them. And if they really liked Jones that much, I mean, he's there at 17, John. He's going to be there at 17, and you could have had them both.
I don't know. Yeah, they were scared that either Denver or Cincy or even the Skins. There were some that said that they might even like him over Haskins. So they were really scared. They thought somebody was going to grab him. But you can't outthink yourself. You just got to take the best guy, and that's the thing. Gettleman, he preached that you know, we're not gonna be desperate and just fill a position. We're gonna take the best guy, and he didn't do that. And he tried to backtrack, and he said, "Oh yeah, we had Jones as the sixth best guy," but that's ridiculous. He's the only one in the world that had Jones as the sixth best guy. So that's awful. And another thing, that kind of brainwashed by this by the coach of Duke, Cutcliffe,
because yeah, he's an Eli guy, right?
Oh, and Eli, yeah. He, I've been hearing this for like 20 years. He coached Peyton and Eli Manning. And you know what other good quarterback he coached was? I'll wait for you to answer, because it's nobody, man. Yeah, none, exactly. And guess what? Fucking Ray Hanley could have coached fucking Peyton Manning, and he still might have slipped his way into the Hall of Fame. So that's another thing that they should have just fucking made Cutcliffe their coach and GM. They've been sucking this guy's schwanz for fucking all these years. They've been bowing to him. I mean, come on, he's a coach of Duke, big fucking deal.
What do you think of Dexter Lawrence?
That was a decent pick. And also, under the radar, while everybody was freaking out and shitting on them for the Jones deal, they made a good deal to get into the first round for a third pick and got
DeAndre Baker.
Yeah, which our boys from our Georgia Bulldog fans, Nick and Chad, can attest to that. That's going to turn out to be a good pick. So
he was the Thorpe Award winner, I believe. Correct? I think he was the best defensive back in the country. Yes. And he was the first cornerback off the board. So,
everybody pays mind to the position players, which it seems like the Giants fouled up on. But they have shored up the secondary. They got last year they took Sam Beal in the supplementary draft, and he would have been projected to be a first or second round pick in this year's draft. So they got him even though he was hurt. So if he could stay healthy, with him, Jenkins, and Baker. And they showed up their safety with the safety position with Jabril Prepas and Bethea. So they should have a decent secondary, but no pass rushers, of course. And they got Lawrence, and they improve what their run stuff is. But they're gonna struggle getting sacks, and they're still gonna struggle on defense. So hopefully they'll pick up some gems with these fourth and fifth rounders that they stacked up.
You know, just being able to take as many shots as you can. That's kind of the Pats' way of doing it, is load up, and some of these guys are going to pan out. So outside of the Jones pick, I agree that they did okay. But, I mean, in this poor kid, I mean, the outrage. It's like you're not doing the kid any favors picking him sixth either, because he's already going to be under the microscope in New York, and now, like, everyone thinks he's going to suck.
Yeah, well, supposedly the reason why they fell in love with him is because of his demeanor and how he handles it. Well, let's see, kid. The pressure will be on.
Right away. Yeah. Gettleman said today that they may consider sitting him, like in the Green Bay plan. Have him sit behind Eli for 3 years.
You know, Roger, a couple months ago it was the Kansas City plan. Now it's the Green Bay plan. Well, guess what? If they go 2-14 again, they may be taking Tua next year, and he's going to be on the press conference saying, yeah, we went with the Cardinal plan, the Arizona plan of taking a fucking quarterback every year until you get it right. He's going to keep switching plans. That's another thing. Yeah, the Kansas City plan, the Green Bay plan. How about the Giant plan? Just come up with your own thing. You won more Super Bowls than Kansas City and Green Bay recently, so they've done something right recently. So never mind the Green Bay plan or the watch, it's going to turn out to be the Cardinal plan, taking another quarterback next year. Awful.
Awful. Speaking of
Are we ready for basketball yet, or another team? Let's move on.
Well, you brought up the Chiefs, so there is something we should probably address. So,
that's off the field stuff. It's just
off the field stuff that's really hurting that team. Obviously, lost Kareem Hunt, and I think we mentioned on here that they were giving Tyreek Hill a much longer leash. And it's just, I think it's just a position thing. I think they knew they could replace Hunt, and Hill, with his skill set in the position he plays, was pretty much irreplaceable, right? As far as very, very valuable in today's NFL. And obviously we had some audio delivered to the press that Hill's fiance took of the two of them talking in the airport, where Hill says some very, very terrible things and appears to at least kind of incriminate himself in the abuse of his 3-year-old son. And so he was barred from team activities today while the Chiefs investigate. I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but I don't know what they're investigating. I think at this point they have no choice but to let him go. And I think if they don't, I think the NFL will probably make the decision for them. I mean, he's got to be done a minimum of a year. And the police are now reopening the investigation based on those tapes. Sad story. Sad for that kid. Sad to have such a talented, such a physically talented guy just waste it. Sad for a guy like Pat Mahomes to lose a weapon like that. The whole thing just sucks.
And he got a second chance in life because
big time.
His previous transgression was while he was in college. So.
Big time,
so,
big time.
Yeah,
so
that should be zero. That should be kind of zero tolerance, even though you can't hold, previous against him. But there should
the
be
police
zero tolerance.
Can hold previous against him, though. Yes. I mean, he might go to jail, honestly, and I mean, it's deserved. So they took a receiver in the second round today. But it's funny, how fleeting this stuff is in sports, and how you really have to strike while the iron's hot. I mean, you looked at that team at the beginning of last year, and it looked like it was this incredible offense that was built for the next decade, and they've lost arguably their two biggest weapons. I mean, they're still going to be good. Mahomes is very good, but. Sammy Watkins will have to really step up and stay healthy. If he does, with him and Kelsey, they'll still have a really good offense. But health has always been an issue of his, and it's tough to win in the NFL with no receivers at all. So it's
yeah. If this had happened a couple months ago, they might have been in on Antonio Brown.
Oh, for sure. You want to not that Antonio Brown's done anything to the level of Tyreek Hill, but he's certainly, acted the part of a head case recently, where maybe they wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, they just brought in Frank Clark, who also has a history of domestic issues, or at least one domestic issue. I don't want to misspeak. Gave him big money. He appears contrite. I mean, they gave up a lot for him, and they're using the Rams blueprint of surround your cheap quarterback with as much talent as humanly possible, spend everywhere else, and try to win a Super Bowl. But losing Hill, which they're certainly going to lose Hill now, really hurts them in that pursuit. Agreed.
Oh yeah, that's not much else to say.
Yeah, so some other quickly before we move on to basketball, some other picks that kind of jumped out. I thought Josh Allen, we've talked about him, Jacksonville getting him makes a good defense even better.
The minute the Giants couldn't even complete Daniel Jones before even the S, Coughlin already had the pick in for Allen. That's how excited Jacksonville was for him to drop at seven.
And so John, I know you're a Jaguars guy. Josh Allen, Big Dick Nick taking over on offense. It looks like Fournette. They've mended fences with Fournette, so he'll be there. Is this going to be your Super Bowl pick?
They're definitely not. But I'll tell you who
they could be. They could be good. That defense could be really good.
I don't know. They had to give up to fit Foles' salary, and they had to let a couple guys go, and we'll see. The general Coughlin's been upset that a lot of guys haven't showed up to minicamp, but I don't think anybody even bothers showing up to minicamp anymore. It's
right.
It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, as long as you're there for the show. But what's really impressive, the Steelers at number 10.
You like Devin Bush?
That's perfect for what they need. Their defense has been ever since Ryan Shazier went down. Under the radar with all the drama with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, the real reason why the last couple seasons fell apart is because 2 years ago they couldn't stop Blake Bortles. After Ryan Shazier went down, their defense was really only average, and when Shazier went down, the defense has turned to way below average. They couldn't stop Blake Bortles in the playoffs 2 years ago, and last year if they would have stopped Case Keenum or Derek Carr and won one of those games, they would have been in the playoffs. So in spite of all the nonsense with Bell and Brown, it's really their defense has been letting them down, and Bush is exactly what they need. And plus, he's a great guy. In his interview, he talks about how he doesn't get caught up on social media and stuff, which is exactly what this team needs, because they've had some locker room issues, as you and the old sports lounge, you and Senior used to harp over.
Yeah, I mean, they're... The inmates run the asylum over there, so they need a guy like Bush.
Bush is gonna lead a change. He's gonna change around. He seems like a great guy all around. He's perfect for what they need.
And then we talked. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Also, yeah, I don't want to seem to be sucking up, but we got a shout out from one of might be our first and our only female listener, the lovely Miss Kelly Jean, who's a big Steelers fan. So she should be happy with that pick. And
Kelly, I apologize if you are. If you go through the archives and listen to my...
Don't chase her away. Yeah, don't chase her away, please.
Feel free to, in the chat or via message, phone call. If you ever want to come on and blast the Patriots, completely welcome. We accept all types here. Just because you root for a franchise that maybe... doesn't have morals and things like that, it's okay. They're a good team. They've been a good team for a long time. Moving on.
Who did the Pats open up with this year, by the way?
Blitzberg, baby. It's going to be a good game.
In New England. Ooh, fah. Damn. Sorry, Kelly, but...
You never know. I think, Blitzberg comes out hot sometimes.
When was the last time the Steelers won in New England, where Steve Grogan might have been quarterback?
They do have trouble with the Patriots. But Ben, they just locked up Ben through age 39. He'll end his career in Pittsburgh.
No, that's another thing. A couple of years ago, Ben was talking about retirement, but ever since he got rid of those two fucking bozos, now he's saying he wants to extend a couple more years. So he got rid of the headaches, and now he wants to play. So
by all accounts, Juju is supposed to be one of the best teammates in the world, and I mean. As good as those guys are, they have good replacements for them, and I do truly think that they've changed, that they've improved the culture in that locker room quite a bit. But some addition by subtraction, maybe some subtraction on the field, but I think you'll have, because it would always make you scratch your head with the Steelers. Always looked like they had the most talent and always fell a little bit short, and maybe. maybe having some of those, you know, a me first guy like Brown as a locker room leader, regardless of what he's doing on the field, maybe that contributed to that. Bell to a lesser extent. Bell seems like he was a good teammate, just about that chatter, as they say, sitting out and not attending things and yada yada. Yeah,
good teammate, but not an economics major.
He did skip voluntary workouts for the Jets this week too. So at least he's consistent.
So did OBJ, but I don't take that into account anymore. I think it's just everybody's blown it off.
Then we had Dwayne Haskins. We talked about a little bit. He's in a pretty good. Not a mobile guy. Put up some really impressive numbers. Like threw 50 touchdown passes last year. Not in the air raid offense.
Besides the lack of mobility, I think also the social media stuff kind of turned off the Giants too. They already went through with Odell tweeting and twatting every 2 seconds. And Haskins seems like he's a big guy on the Instagram and on the Twitter and stuff. So I think that's another thing that kept the Giants away from. But we'll see what he does on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good. I mean, it's a good situation to go into because they have a bridge quarterback in Keenum. Alex Smith is going to be someone he can talk to. He's not going to play obviously this year, but he's going to be someone who can mentor him. So he could pan out. It could be a good situation for him there. And then Josh Jacobs to the Raiders, another pick I didn't really like for them. When you have as many holes as they do to take a running back in the first round, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially you gave Isaiah Crowell decent money in the offseason. I know Lynch retired, but if you're looking for a guy, and they have Jalen Richard who catches passes out of the backfield too, so another waste of a pick in my opinion. I feel bad for Josh Jacobs. And the Pats. The Pats took a first-round receiver for the first time in a very, 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 very long time. I believe Terry Glenn was the last first-round receiver that they took. Kid looks good. N'Keal Harry from Arizona State. Big kid. Run after the catch. High point the ball. Should be another home run for Mr. Brady, I'm hoping.
Of course.
The Patriots draft history is a little spotty, especially recently. They really kind of need to ace this draft. So hopefully they do.
Well, if you look at everybody's got hits and misses. There's really it's an inexact science.
The Patriots have missed specifically on receivers pretty consistently. So we have to hope this kid is an exception to that.
Yeah, and another good pick was the Redskins again, Montez Sweat. He dropped down because of some questionable medical history. Yeah. So, but that's,
I mean, he was a top 10 guy, right? He's a top 10 guy.
Proclaiming the Redskins won the draft. We'll see.
We'll see.
Also, I think a lot of people that aren't big college junkies that the same crew that watches one or two games, they get caught up with these guys with like a name like Montez Sweat. That's just such a great name. And also like Greedy Williams, guys like that. Guys that you never seen play but have like such a great football name, guys get all hyped for.
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, but just keep in mind, Tank Johnson, he had more arrests than tackles in his NFL career. So that's just a caveat. Sorry, wasn't he a Bears bust? Sorry, Tim Slomka, if you're listening. Sorry to bring that one up.
Ironhead Hayward, you remember him?
Yeah. People get, sometimes a name doesn't live up to the career.
Ron the Great Dane.
Oh my God! it always comes back to another Giant bust.
Fire and ice, baby. Right? That was Dane and Tiki.
Yeah.
We used to call
Earth,
him
Wind,
Captain
Fire,
and Coke. All right, so let's move on a little to the NBA. Good discussion there, John, on the draft. I feel like we
it was good
like
for you.
We really dove deep there, and I hope it all works out. I
it was,
truly do.
It was good for you. I feel like a woman that when that you only got satisfied and I didn't really get mine. But we'll move on. Sure.
Man, I feel like a woman when I hear that. NBA playoffs. So very, very interesting first round. First round that played true to form. I mean, almost exclusively. There's a possibility that all four, all eight of the top four seeds do win. So we're going to do a quick, and I know people hate this, but the Warriors seem to have turned things around a little against the Clippers. They're up 10 here in the second quarter, trying to close the Clippers out after losing at home in game five, where they were favored by about 17 points. The Clippers showed some real feistiness, win or lose, in this series. Doc Rivers did a hell of a job with this team, and their future is bright. They gave the Warriors everything they wanted. Agreed?
I'm surprised that they're still playing. This
Everybody
series should
is.
Be over. Yeah. And the Clippers, if they get a couple of the free agents go their way, they're gonna be future. They might be future champions, and the roles are gonna reverse a couple of years if the Warriors have the exits that are that everyone thinks are gonna happen, and they don't retool. The worm's gonna turn. The Clippers gonna be the one in future series that are gonna be favored.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they, especially considering they just dumped Tobias Harris. You know, it's essentially like a tank move to get the 8 seed and then to take 2 games, even if they lose tonight, to take 2 games from the juggernaut Warriors, including one of the biggest comebacks in NBA playoff history, down 31. Very impressive. Very, very impressive with them. And to win an elimination game in Golden State, very impressive. So we have a hell of a second round coming. So much to talk about. So much to talk about. The East, and you touched on this in our preview, John. Two just phenomenal series. So everybody took care of business. None of the other series were competitive. I mean, the Raptors and the Sixers each dropped a game. But overall, the four top seeds cleaned house as you thought they would. I thought the Celtics were the most vulnerable, but they wiped the floor with the Pacers in a sweep. A lot of people saying the Celtics seem like they're clicking on all cylinders finally, and some of that inconsistency that plagued them in the regular season may be going away. Well, that is really going to be put to the test because Milwaukee looks like the real deal. And in a Milwaukee-Golden State series right now, I mean, I would personally favor the Bucks. I would pick the Bucks to win that series. So the Celtics have a very tall order. But let's talk about Celts-Bucks first. Milwaukee home court advantage, huge. On paper, the Celtics have more talent. They do. But Milwaukee has the best player in the series, probably the best player in the NBA right now, just a complete force of nature in Giannis. The Celts will throw Horford at him, and, you know, Stevens is smart, so he's going to give him different looks, try to make him shoot jump shots, yada, yada. If the Celts were playing the Raptors or the Sixers, I would pick the Celtics to win. The way the Bucks are playing, I mean, they look really, really, really good, and I don't see it. I don't see it going more than 6, unfortunately. I think the Bucks take it in 6. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think you're just being conservative because you don't want to jinx your home team. But I'm going the other way. I don't think the Bucks were tested at all with the Detroit, and then the Celtics were kind of tested. The games were competitive versus Indiana, but you have to be very optimistic because especially with the Celtics, Gordon Haywood coming off that gruesome injury, he's really rounding into shape.
Yep.
His game just gets better every game, and he's more confident. He's taking it to the hole. He's not tentative out there, and that's one. And also, Kyrie just has turned it on to another level. Where when you need that big bucket in the fourth quarter, he's going to come through. And I think Brad's going to dial up some defensive plans for Giannis and try to make him take the outside shots where he's a little shaky on. And I think the Celtics' experience is going to come true. Going against a hell of a coach with Budenholzer, But I like the Celtics to squeak by in seven. It's going to be a dogfight and a dogfight.
I hope you're right. So they're winning in Milwaukee in game seven.
The Celtics have one in the road. They could do
it. Oh, no, I hope you're right. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gonna make an effort to go to either game three or game four just to see them.
Nothing like it. Oh, Roger, I'm sorry. We have to dedicate our NBA portion to the great Hondo. Rest in peace, John Havlicek.
Yes.
The next time you get up with Senior, you got to ask him who was like the modern day. I always like to compare players from the past like to modern day. Like who would be like the modern day version whose game is most like Havlicek? I would probably say Jason Tatum.
Smooth scorer. Yeah. Havlicek, I believe, is the Celtics' all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, but he was a five-tool guy. He could score inside, outside, defense, pass. He was a little of everything.
He's before my time. I don't remember him. I mean, I know of him, but I haven't seen him play too much.
And he's one of those guys. He bridged, like he won about a six with Russell in the 60s, but also those two championships in the 70s kind of get forgotten. When you talk about like the Celtics history, it's always like, you know, when Russell dominated in the 60s and then kind of with the Bird teams in the 80s. And those 70s teams kind of get lost in the sauce. They weren't the most talented, but Tommy Heinsohn, they were well-coached. They had Cowens, JoJo White, and Hondo led those two championships in the 70s, which was a different style of ball. Probably a little boring to today's game. There wasn't the three-pointer, but it was all about getting your best shot, getting an open jump shot, or getting a layup. But Hondo was a very special player.
Rest in peace. Rest absolutely. All right. Next up in the East, another just phenomenal, phenomenal series. Philly-Toronto, both teams playing well. Both teams looked real good in the first round. Both teams have guys that can take over a playoff game. Toronto with Kawhi, Philly with Joel Embiid, and man, this is going to be a good series. Do you think Toronto can get this playoff jinx off their back? Do you think Kawhi makes that difference? It's a tough call. It really is. I like Toronto in this series, but I'm not confident about it. I mean, it's solely based on him because I don't really trust a guy. Lowry has been very up and down. Siakam has been phenomenal. Siakam has been great. And they're going to need him to be. And for the Sixers, I think it really comes down to Simmons and his ability. I mean, he played one great game against Brooklyn and had some so-so games. And he kind of alternates from looking, you know, like a superstar to kind of looking deer in the headlights-y. And the whole inability to shoot outside of 10 feet makes it tough on their offense sometimes, but I think he's really the key to the series. If they're going to win, he needs to step up big, and I just don't know if he's got it in him.
I'll stick with Philly tentatively, but for Sixer fans that are thinking this is going to be easy because the Raptors are always choke. This is not the first of all, the Raptors got a different coach, Nurse, who's taken to the NBA game. Real comfortably, did a great job in his first year, and also the Raptors never had a player like Kawhi. They had sure Lowry and DeRozan made their All Star teams, but Kawhi is a top five, top 10 player, however you want to argue it. He's a special player, and Siakam, like you mentioned, a lot of people are going to learn about him. He's probably going to win Most Improved Player, and he's on the verge of becoming a superstar, if not already. He's going to open up a lot of eyes. But I'll still stick with Philly. There's a couple caveats, though. I don't like looks like Scott has plantar fasciitis, and he's Mike Scott. He was big coming off the bench. He won a game versus Brooklyn with a three-pointer. So it looks like their bench is short as it is. So it looks like he might be out for at least the first game, if not the series. And that's one. And also, I didn't like how Philly kind of struggled with Brooklyn. And then they were a little too happy, beating Brooklyn. They got into that nonsense with Jared Dudley and all that. They should have mopped the floor with Brooklyn. It should have even been a sweep. They shouldn't even lost the game. And also, Philly's they're not really conducting themselves like a championship team. They got like they're doing they list Embiid as doubtful when he winds up playing. I don't think that's a championship caliber team if they're trying to play around
or a little bush league.
Like, tell me, when was the time that Michael Jordan or LeBron James was ever listed as doubtful for a playoff game? Come on, you gotta conduct yourselves a little, championship caliber. It goes back to like even last year they were too happy to beat a Miami team which didn't even belong in the playoffs. Embiid was too happy talking shit to Hassan Whiteside, a guy who played one good month in his career and turned it into a big contract, and now he went back to being a a smoke joke. So the same thing. Hopefully this doesn't. And then they didn't bring it versus Boston. So hopefully the same thing doesn't repeat where they're too happy to beat the Brooklyn team because they'll get a big surprise when they come up versus Toronto. This is another level of competition.
Agreed. It's going to be a great series. Moving over to the West. So the Warriors are up 19 at halftime. So, anything can happen, but it looks like they're probably going to win that game. So a lot of people are saying the round two game in the West between the round two series between the Warriors and the Rockets. You know, whoever comes out of that series is your NBA champion. Rockets looked great against Utah. Utah's a very good team, and the Rockets just stomped them. Some of it if you watch the games, Utah couldn't throw it in the ocean. They were missed so many open shots. But regardless, Houston played great. The Rockets played excellent. Harden was great. Chris Paul, fully healthy. PJ Tucker has been awesome for them. Capella outplayed Gobert, in my opinion, in the series. So they're really, really, and Eric Gordon is himself. They're really clicking on all cylinders right now. And the Warriors are showing some potential, the potential to get beat. They're not dominating like you would think. They haven't really all year. Like if you kind of took away the names off the jerseys and just looked at the stats and kind of looked at their record. I mean, they were very good, but not as good as they've been. Certainly not dominant. So, you think the Rockets, without home court advantage, can do it? Can finish what they started and should have finished last year?
They definitely can, but I'm still going to stick with Golden State. And just because the Rockets are going to have those games where they rely too much on a three, and they're going to get killed again, just like last year in Game 7, where they're going to have one of those 4-for-40 three-point games. As a matter of fact, in Game 3, Harden was miserable, and Utah just couldn't take advantage. Harden was like, what was he, like
0-for-15?
Yeah. But you're not going to be able to get away with that versus Golden State, even with the loss of Boogie. They're down short, but I think this is the last hurrah, and Golden State's going to pull through just like last year in 7.
All right. I like Houston. I do. I like Houston in 6. As crazy as that sounds. So we will see. I think they kind of have their number. I mean, they should have beaten them last year. In my mind, their team's going on opposite trajectories right now, and Houston is a team that could be peaking very much at the right time, and Golden State, I feel like they're ripe for the picking. I really, really do. And I mean, with the players they have, there's a good chance they prove me wrong, but that's just my gut. That's my gut on this one. In the last series, we talk a little bit about Portland. Portland got no one's taken Portland seriously coming into the playoffs this year. And I think a lot of that was based on getting swept as the higher seed by the Pelicans last year. But they seem to really have a chip on their shoulder. And Damian Lillard, holy moly, incredible. What a series he had. I mean, he clowned Westbrook. And then in the clinching game, I mean, he scored 50 points, and that shot he hit over Paul George to win it from 34 feet away or whatever it was a that's one that they'll be playing back for years and years and years. So hats off to them. Were you impressed with the Blazers, John?
Oh, come on. You got to be. They fooled me because I had picked against them because I didn't like they had lost coming into that. They had lost 10 playoff games in a row. And and plus they had lost Nurkic. So I was down on them, but the big key was game one. They had the lead most of the way, but then towards the end it looked like it was slipping away. OKC cut it to one, and Dame Dash, just like even before he did it in game five, Dame Dash pulls up from 40 and nothing but net, and that pretty much set the tone for the whole series. Put him up by four, and they never looked back. And that was a big time shot. So Dame Dash wants to he wants to move up from just being on that All-Star, that top 10, top 15 level to like a top five player, and he definitely proved it. And it's going to be a good series. I'll stick with the Spurs to pull out a game seven. We'll say I'm not too confident about that pick because the Denver got their win that they needed to in San Antonio to make up for the game they lost at home. So they got the home court advantage for game seven. But I'll stick with the Spurs experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a great game. I kind of like the Blazers to beat either team, though. I like the Blazers to beat whatever team wins, either one.
Yeah, Dame Dash is in that zone now.
He is.
Me too. I'm gonna, I'm gonna. That'll be the first time we agree because, and also I threw a little shade on ex-Nick Enos Kanter, and he outplayed Adams.
Very good.
He outplayed Adams. He held his own. He wasn't a defensive liability. We'll see what happens, and I think he's going to get more. He'll have to do a little more work, and if they play Denver, he'll be guarding either Millsap or I doubt they'll put him on Jokic. That's asking for trouble. So he
can't guard Jokic.
Yeah, they'll probably have him on Millsap. So there's going to be a step up in competition for them. But he shut us up. He held his own defensively, and he puts in his usual double double. So he was very impressive. He was
absolutely
impressive.
But really, I mean, I've been, I don't know about you, but I watch, it's so, I love this time of year for the NBA playoffs.
Me too.
I'm just glued to the television every night.
Yeah, I watch as much as I can, yeah. And also, Enos Kanter, not only an ex-Nick, dating, I don't know if he's still dating, but Miss Dana Brooke of the WWE.
Really? I did not know that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know. That's one thing, when guys in New York, they get all the finest of the finest.
Good for him. Good for him. Good for Dana. It's a good match right there.
I hope they're still together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she looks like she could do a hell of a box out.
Anyway. I'll refrain. I'll have to be a gentleman. But being that we have one female listener, I'll have to keep it.
All right, guys.
Even though the first half I had a Boston horror comment, so it's...
So hope everyone enjoyed it this week. We enjoy doing it for you, and tune in. We'll be back before the finals. Hopefully, at the very least after round two to go over round two, and one of these days we'll even talk some baseball. But
hey, it's still April. It's still April.
It is. John, you got anything anything to add? Anything to plug?
The show that started it all will. The old school Place to Be podcast. We'll be talking WrestleMania 5. We're doing a build-up show and followed by the review on the show itself. So tune in for that. I was on The Great Debate recently. We had some good laughs with Greg and Chad came out to do another podcast. The first one without Justin, and he's been a while. It was very entertaining. We debated some stuff. Greg Phillips, a suffering Utah Jazz fan, was lamenting his team, building the superstars and then losing them to a big market team. So it was a fun time.
All right. And so if you're not into the advertisements, you can turn it off now. But I will talk to you about what's going on here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. So we did have a busy week with a little something for everyone. Marvel Age crew is back to wrap up the year that was 1970. Jenny and Mirandia have returned with a new Geek and Sassy breaking down Doom Patrol Volume 1. On this installment of Sunday Groove, David is joined by Greg Phillips to discuss some hidden gems. Double A, Andy Atherton, brings in a host of luminaries for the newest great debate, looking at sports and pop culture as always, and that includes Mr. D'Amato, am I right?
Yes, sir, of course.
All right, so tune in for that one for sure. Kelly and Steve are in the house with a new Songs with Friends, talking some Lil Wayne and Deanna Carter. I love Lil Wayne. Todd Weber brings us a pod blast to look at the premiere episode of Season 8 of Game of Thrones. You a Game of Thrones guy, John?
Definitely not. I don't want to disparage something that a lot of people are into. So I'll take a hard pass. I'll just throw one shot in. Midgets fucking isn't even in my top 100 porn searches. So why would I watch it on a regular show?
I'm a big Game of Thrones guy, and that's just an awful comment. I'm just going to leave it right there. You're okay, buddy. The hard-traveling fanboys talk the power of Shazam in this month's Long Book Hunters. Andy was joined by Tim Capel to talk Ghostbusters in the fourth episode of Laugh In Theater. Coming up at the end of May, the hard-traveling fanboys will be wrapping up their Hard Travelers for Hire series with a special giant-sized edition of the podcast. Greg and Nick will be joined by past guests for a retrospective look back at the highs and lows of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they want your opinions. After you've seen Endgame, send in your full ranking of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies from 1 to 22 to Nick D as in Duke at placetobenation.com. The full composite rankings for Place to Be Nation will be revealed on the show, so get your ballots in to make your voice heard. And that's all I got, so tune in to these other great programs. Please keep tuning in to us. Message us with any questions, comments, concerns, etc. And we will, or if you want to be on the show, if anyone ever wants to be on the show, shoot us a message and we will think about it. So, John, good time as always.
You have doing Avengers this weekend, or when are you gonna get it?
Not this weekend. Me and Ryder are gonna go
next week.
We're gonna go next weekend. It's a little crazy this weekend.
Yeah, when it slows down, sure.
Yeah, the theaters around here are open like 24/7 for 4 days. It's crazy. So I'm avoiding spoilers. So
with that box office, I'm not really a superheroes guy, but with the box office, the non superhero movies to look for are Rocket Man. The Elton John biopic, Yesterday, is going to be a big hit. Have you seen a preview for that?
I have not. No, what is it?
Well, it's a Danny Boyle film. It's amazing. A guy, there's some kind of earthquake that causes like the earth to move, and for some reason, and this guy is a musician, and for some reason, the rest of the world, the Beatles don't exist to the rest of the world, only to this guy. So he writes and sings all the Beatles songs, and it's like people are hearing it for the first time. And
oh, excellent!
Yeah, the check out the preview. Yeah,
that's the name, right? Yesterday,
right? And also, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Mr. Tarantino is going to be. Those are my three box office picks that from a non superhero guy.
You're a good man, John. I'm not a huge superhero guy, but I do like
you because you're a superhero. You don't need to be.
I do like the Avengers movies. Me and Ryder have gone to all of them, so we're looking forward to this one. We were pretty pretty disturbed at the end of the last one, so we're hoping things turn out well. I'm guessing they will, but I do not follow LaShawn McCoy on Twitter, so I don't know what happened, which is good.
My superheroes are you, Andy, Justin, Scott, you guys.
Right back at you, my friend.
You guys are my boys.
All right, so hopefully this will get posted on Saturday or Sunday, so enjoy it over the weekend, and we'll be back next week or the week after. So for John, I'm the cowboy, and we're out of here.
Okay.